Welcome to an all-new episode of the McFuture Podcast. I'm Steve Factor, and this is the last part of our six-part series on the future of universal care. We've been through a lot together. I've ranted and raved. You listened. I laid a real solution at your feet. But here's the cold, hard truth. We might not need to do anything. Like a broken bone is still going to heal even if it's set improperly, so will a broken marketplace. It's going to self-organize. Technology is about to bring healthcare costs down in a major way, the same way it has in other much simpler industries. It's only taken this long because entrepreneurs and investors had easier kills available to them. But now social media, e-commerce, car sharing, advertising, and a whole bunch of digital industries are already mature. So investors and innovators are looking at the more stubborn, labor-intensive, and capital-intensive industries, things like real estate, construction, education, agriculture, food service, law, and yes, healthcare. As long as there are customers who can afford to pay something, anything, companies will try to soak up their cash, or the government. And this applies to healthcare or any other industry. In a strange way, we might still end up with a single-payer system, except it might not be public. It's what'll happen if the few remaining insurers start to merge. The problem is, it's going to bake in this distortion of employers as hubs for healthcare. This link between employment and healthcare is not going to break without government intervention. Whether it's Factor Care or Bernie Care or something terrific, the main way to do it is to eliminate this employer tax subsidy and charge some sort of luxury tax on whatever employers still cover insurance. If that subsidy was pulled, even without a plan, most companies would drop employee insurance. In theory, that would push everyone onto the private market, likely Obamacare or some other exchange. And once everyone shops retail, insurers would have this large, diverse risk pool. They'll also be forced to compete on costs and service quality and innovation, just like every other industry. Of course, taxpayers are still going to get stuck with all the costliest cases, the poor and the aging that are on Medicare and Medicaid. I'm not sure this is any better or more realistic than Factor Care or single payer or Medicare for all. I don't think our government has the balls to cut subsidies or undercut any of the private insurers. That's why passing Obamacare was so monumental. Not because it was great. It wasn't. It was messy and just a smidge corrupt. But the idea of getting any law that huge passed was mind-blowing. And for a while, it looked like it was a step towards a better system. Now it looks like a step into the abyss. That means no matter what system you want, you're not getting it. Not until the cracks become craters and enough people fall through. Only then are we going to be forced to act. But we'll be doing it out of crisis, not competence. In the next 20 years, millions of jobs are going to be wiped out by automation. Driving, retail clerks, food service, and who knows, podcasting too. It's happening already. There's a huge drop in employment among working age men. Manufacturing jobs are all but gone. Then there's this transition to crappy service jobs that don't have any benefits. We've had decades of flat wages, and half of the people that are graduating college are taking jobs that don't require degrees. At best, we face some sort of upheaval. At worst, a massive spike in Steve Harvey's ratings. Even jobs that don't disappear, they become abstract and meaningless. Go ahead and explain to grandma how tapping on a keyboard all day produced last night's steak. It's almost impossible. According to Gallup, only 13% of people are engaged in their jobs. And in the UK, 37% think their jobs are meaningless. And maybe the others were afraid that the survey would get back to their bosses. There's a reason economists are suddenly measuring happiness and quality of life, not just employment. In 50 years, the idea of millions of people sitting in front of computers to earn a living will be as silly as the idea of driving to a strip mall to rent a movie. In this world of silly work, mental health is all that matters. And as I wrote in The Economics of Happiness, happiness is the last thing left to innovate, to quote myself obnoxiously. While universal coverage isn't exactly happiness, it is a step towards freedom and leverage. For some, it's freedom to say no to some crappy job or an abusive boss. For others, it's freedom to start a business or survive a layoff or recession. I mean, literally survive without dying in the hands of some Haitian witch doctor. Not that there aren't good witch doctors, but this is not the liberty that was promised in our Constitution. Quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments and instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." There's not a word there about healthcare, or roads, or subways, or schools, or food safety, and nothing about taxes. Our definition of liberty is always changing, sometimes in these big leaps like Social Security, but other times in tiny little hops like speed limits. Every single change simultaneously liberates and constrains us, depending on the situation. But they're all there by the consent of the governed. As capital, industries, and political power consolidate, we're going to come to realize that this whole thing was never about healthcare. Healthcare is only a test. We're about to face much harder questions. How do we sustain a rich society if few are needed to work? Is American individualism even sustainable? Is some form of collectivism inevitable? If so, how much will we tolerate? And most important, we'll be forced to re-examine our own values, to redefine liberty yet again, and decide who gets to experience it. The majority or the minority? Makers or takers? Earners or moochers? Individuals or businesses? Entrepreneurs or large corporations? Rural or city dwellers? White or black? Poor or rich? Citizens or immigrants? Now, I know some of you might hear that list and think the answers are obvious or trivial. I assure you they are not. I don't take any of these questions lightly, and neither should you. We need to listen and engage with opposing views in a 2-to-1 ratio, more listening than engaging, without prejudgment or name calling. We're not going to move past the stalemate we're in until we understand and address the anxieties of both the weak and the powerful. As new threats and opportunities arise, we're going to need to rise to meet them. And if we can't pass this test, we can't solve the rest. Man, I feel like Jesse Jackson today. I'm rhyming all over the place. Adam Smith wrote about the invisible hand of economics. What we need now, more than ever, is a visible hand of leadership. I know that was touching. You wept. You cradled your emotional support salamander or validation vulture. But there is one last piece to this puzzle. Batman. That's right, the cape crusader who saves Gotham from the Joker and a bunch of other crooks in cod pieces. Do you think Batman is a hero? I'll let you think about that for a second. Or is Batman something else? Here's how writer Albert Brunecco described him. Quote, "Batman is a dingus. He is a trust fund billionaire who puts on a balaclava with ears so he can do technology-enhanced karate at pickpockets and muggers, who sinks his fortune into paramilitary hardware in his one-man campaign to punch a city into peace. He throws darts shaped like his brand logo. He's Jeff Bezos on steroids and paint thinner fumes. He is a chode. If he quit the crime fighter malarkey, stayed home playing Xbox, and literally just paid property tax, he'd do more good than he does as Batman, because at least he would not be undermining the civic justice system. There's no easy way to say this. This is me talking again. Bernie Sanders is Batman. No, he's not a chode or a dingus, and I probably would have voted for the guy just on the issue of campaign finance reform. But he and his Justice League of Democratic Socialists think they'll save America with freebies, the same way that Batman thinks he'll save Gotham with technology-enhanced karate. Instead, both end up undermining the very society they want to help. Even if we somehow, miraculously, got a single-payer system, it would be a massive missed opportunity. Here's why. We've already outsourced and automated nearly everything. What we once did for each other is now done by institutions or strangers or machines. The government cleans our streets, teaches our kids, and runs the trains. A bunch of strangers Uber us to the airport. A TaskRabbit assembles your IKEA. Soulless conglomerates make your breakfast with whatever the polysorbate 80 is. And Amazon drones are practically shooting smoothies in our faces while we binge on Breaking Bad. And your kid hasn't touched one thing that wasn't made in Shenzhen, which no one you know can find on a map. All of our creature comforts have broken the bonds of necessity that made us accountable to each other and to ourselves. These bonds held communities together. They nourished our humanity. They've been replaced by these weak, superficial bonds of interest online and elsewhere. Oh, you like Rihanna? Me too. Let's meet up sometime. Or not. In this world of weak bonds, there's no more interdependency or mutual accountability. Everyone bails out on each other, and friends are disposable. Even with all the gadgets and AI and remote services, health care is still care. Doctors, nurses, and technicians are real, live humans who care about our well-being, who see us naked and never laugh at our weird scrotums or asymmetrical boobs. That's what my people call a mensch. Paying these mensches or heroes directly, whatever you can afford, is one of the last forms of gratitude and mutual accountability we'll ever get to experience. The same way I wouldn't want robots teaching my kids, or at least not until my kids are robots, I don't want to surrender this last patch of humanity, not just yet. And laundering payments through some soulless bureaucracy turns healthcare from the most personal service into an entitlement. And guess what? Nobody ever appreciates anything they feel entitled to. But I'm not making this case on payments alone. Buried inside of healthcare is a chance to strengthen our withering bonds and our disappearing communities. Now, this is not some hippy-dippy fantasy. Christian health sharing ministries like Liberty HealthShare are already doing something like that. They're not like traditional insurance. HealthShare plans pool member premiums and reimburse expenses until the pool runs out. Once it runs out, that's it. They also negotiate with providers before and after procedures to keep costs down. This creates an implicit honor system. Everyone feels accountable to others in the pool, people who share their values, who are in their community. But that's not what I love most about HealthShare plans. It's their medical crowdfunding that I love. They let you know when a member has a dire condition that they can't cover, so others in the network can pitch in to help. In a way, it's what GoFundMe has become, except it's more of a sad stand-in for a functional healthcare system. At scale, this kind of medical crowdfunding could be a massive community and connection-building engine. Imagine seeing a photo and bio, or even a video, of a person who shares your values, who needs help, then helping them survive cancer and keeping tabs on their progress. It's pretty powerful stuff. It's what those old Sally Struthers commercials in the 80s used to do. I think their organization was Save the Children. They'd put you in touch with these kids that you were helping and send you letters from them and all this other stuff. It worked then, and it'll work now. But of course, not everyone's a Christian. However, everyone is part of a meditation group or a veteran or an online gamer or some corporate alumni. The more affinity groups you belong to, the more others will relate to your plight and want to help. This can all be done digitally by the hated Facebook or countless others. And let's face it, whatever system we get isn't going to pay for everything. I don't care what politicians promise you. Unless you're rich, everyone will experience some sort of scarcity or delay or coverage limit, the same way we do with private insurance. Well, lucky for us, there's at least one way to solve it while helping us to rebuild human connection. At the end, no matter your politics, I know we all want the same thing, immortality. Until then, there's universal care. In this series, I presented one way to get there. I'm sure there are others, but don't fall for the easy answers. One side's casual indifference, or the other's socialism-enhanced karate. We don't need a new monolithic bureaucracy. We can use the one we already have as leverage. Through government, we have something called soft power. Think of soft power as an offer you can't refuse from a powerful pal. Like when the local mobster offers 20 bucks for you to help him move a heavy, oversized trash bag. You don't say no to that. But we're not the local mobster. We are Americans. If nothing else, we must spend every waking moment proving one thing: that we're better than Canada. Fuck Canada. Sorry, Canada. Nothing personal. This is about us, not you. I'm Steve Factor. That's it for this series. I worked really hard on it. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Don't forget, I am putting this entire series out as an ebook. Go to the website ideafactory.com or to amazon.com, and I will have all the hyperlinks, all my calculations. I'm going to take out most of the jokes, but everything else will be there, and it's going to be awesome. I'm really proud of it. I hope you buy it. It's going to be priced so everyone can afford it, and hopefully you'll spread it to others. I will see you next week on The McFuture with an all-new series. You won't want to miss it. See you next week.